independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
100 days of broken promises to working people. 100 days of handouts to the wealthiest people in our country.
And as we all know, Nancy likes to give handouts to other people. That's her favorite thing. It's not that he's giving handouts out. Let's understand that, right? Let's understand. It's not that he's giving handouts to people, which he's not really, right? It's not that he's giving handouts. It's just that he's giving it to the wrong type of people. The Democrats have nothing but their interest, like most politicians, in their heart. That's all they care about. And they realize there's far more have-nots than haves. And if they can give enough to the have-nots, that they will be forever in power. It doesn't always work that way. Even people who don't have, this is what I tried to explain to somebody the other day. They're like, I can't believe that people vote for somebody like Trump. It goes against their best interest. I'm like, no, you're looking at it from a point of view where you think that everybody should think like you. And that everybody who is middle class or maybe even, dare I say, in the poverty level should vote like you based on what they're going to get from the government when these people, a lot of them, want to do all they can to get away from the likes of the Pelosi's of the world and get to the upper. They want to move on up. Well, I just think it's stupid. Of course you do. Of course you think it's stupid. How could somebody do this? 100 days in almost. My God, he's getting ready to have a shutdown in his first 100 days. And you know how it's going to be read? Trump broke the government. He did it. Finally broke it. He was only here 100 days, and he broke it. Broke it to little bits and pieces. Wants to give rich people more money. Oh, my God, he's all about nothing. Right, Nancy, just tell us more, because I just love your voice. It just soothes me at night. When I go to sleep, close your eyes, everybody. Think about this.
Broken promises on jobs and infrastructure. We haven't seen a jobs bill. We haven't seen an infrastructure bill for all the talk.
If he brought a jobs bill to you tomorrow with everything and then some, you guys have a fear factor now because you've backed your dumbasses into the corner that if you're even seen with this guy cavorting around town, you're screwed because your people won't have it. Because the social justice warriors who care only about whether or not they can have an abortion and climate change and gay marriage and everything else that they're all terrified about, that's never going away. It's not. That's all they care about. If you were seen tomorrow with him to say, man, he brought us an infrastructure bill that is going to help a lot of people. Oh, my God. You would be screwed, blued, and tattooed. There's nothing you could do. They wouldn't want any part of that. They would be all over you. Why do these things matter? Because it's taxes. Yesterday, I loved what he rolled out tax-wise. I thought it was great. I know we're not going to get it all. But man, if at the end it was simpler and we were able to break it down to essentially just one little page that we fill out and we move on with our lives, how much better would you feel? Right? We got a little bit more back. Oh man, I would love that. Be great. But of course, Chuck Schumer, as always, super positive.
The president's outline yesterday is a direct assault on the middle class and an expensive gift to the wealthiest Americans and the special interests.
Wealthiest Americans and the special interest. Anything that benefits everybody, we have to pick apart the wealthy. Tomorrow, we're going to celebrate people who've been successful, not demonize them, as the Democrats like to do. By the way, many of those same Democrats who demonize them, we'll just say Nancy Pelosi, who demonized the wealthy, is wealthy herself. All right? Many of them who talk about how horrible it is that these people get a break, she too and her husband as well, they're going to be all right, and they're going to benefit. First 100 days, though. Man, do you remember that night he won? People crying in the streets, people terrified. Oh, my God, it's over. Women going, he's going to take away my choice. People freaking out, just could not contain their fears and all this stuff. And we're going to war tomorrow, and it's going to be over sooner rather than later. And, oh, God, it was just, here we are 98 days later, soon to be 99, and then 100 days. We're not going to war. What about North Korea? It's a joke. Not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. I've told you that from day one. They have zero, zero, zero chance of doing anything or inflicting anything on us. They just don't. Well, they could get a dirty bomb. Man, you're talking about a lot of people and a lot of chatter that was going to have to get through to get us, you know, a dirty bomb. And with all of the radiation sniffers and all of those things we have out there, I read an article the other day. Do you know that if you, those radiation sniffers, those things that they have are so good that they could tell if you've had radiation? Meaning if you've been treated for cancer, they can tell that you've had it. Think about that for a second. Soak that up before you start to lose your mind. And by the way, weapons experts today were looking at and have been telling the world that not only is the stuff that North Korea has antiquated, right? Not only is that antiquated, and by that I mean old, borderline on antique. I'm surprised that they don't have muskets. Saying we've got the most revolutionary guns in the history of the world, and we're coming for you, and we've got a cannon. Not only is it stuff old and obsolete. In fact, I read an article that some of that stuff is so obsolete. Whatever bullets they have for it now, unless they've got a manufacturing plant that is manufacturing specifically for that gun, there is no other place they're going to get it because that stuff is. But that some of the missiles that you've seen on those that they're wandering through the streets with, some of that stuff's not even real. It's literally props. So let's roll that back. So we're not going to war, right? Well, he's not kept all of his promises. Did you expect him to keep all promises in 100 days? Let's just say he did everything in 100 days. Does that mean the next 3 years plus he's going to have nothing to do? It's a fight. It is a fight. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight within his own party. It's going to be a fight with the Democrats. It is over the next 4 years, dare I say, I think he's going to get some stuff done that surprises the hell out of a lot of people. I really, really do. Case in point last night, and this is a perfect example of how the world is much different than most people think. Did he promise a lot of things? Yes, he did. But you never know what it's like until you get in there, right? Mike Tyson's great saying is, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the jaw. Well, you know what? You've got a plan. All these things you want to do, but then you realize you don't have as much power as you think. While the buck stops with you, at the same time, three co-equal branches of government that have a lot of say in what goes on. And a lot of what you're going to try to do is going to travel through the courts, and a lot of what you're going to do is going to die in Congress and or get fought tooth and nail, and what you put through comes out something wholly different. Remember when you were a kid and you get a shrinky dink and it looked big and you put it inside the oven and then you take it out and it shrunk? That's a lot of what happens, right? You put the bill in there, it goes in there, and you come out later and you're like, that doesn't look anything like what I put in there. That's kind of what happens. But the whole NAFTA thing was a perfect example last night. This is what he talked about, NAFTA. And we talked a bit about trade yesterday because everybody thought, well, he's going to get out of NAFTA. He's going to get out of NAFTA. But then you get inside and you actually get to break it down and look at everything and see how it helps and hurts people. And this is what he had to say last night.
If I'm unable to make a fair deal, for the United States, meaning a fair deal for our workers and our companies, I will terminate NAFTA.
If I'm unable to make a fair deal, if everything is an if, because I got to look at it. Everything in life's a negotiation, right? Didn't he write a best-selling book about being, you know, the master negotiator, right? This is what it's about. You go in there, you look. Yeah, I'd like to get out of NAFTA, or at least NAFTA the way it is. But what do you say? I want to get out of NAFTA. I'm done. I'm over it. Well, hold on here a second, sir, Mr. President. Yes, what do you guys have to say? Mr. Trudeau, what do you have to say? Oh, well, you know, I know you want to get on NAFTA, but it does help us, and everybody's kind of benefited across the board. Well, yeah, you know what? Our consumers have benefited, but you guys have benefited a lot more than our workers have. So let's talk about making it a little bit fair.
I like both of these gentlemen very much. They called me, and they said, rather than terminating NAFTA, could you please renegotiate?
Boom. Comes from a place of what? Power. Rather than terminating it, is there any way we could talk about it and renegotiate it? What's that mean to me? I've got an upper hand here. So yes, and if we can make it so it's better for everybody as far as our workers as well as a bit for our consumers, they may have to pay a little bit more, but if our workers are working and we don't have to worry about a lot of the stuff that's been happening, then hey, that's a negotiation and I've got an upper hand. If I have to bust it off and negotiate with you guys one at a time too, we can do that. That's the ball in our court and we're allowed to do what we want to do with it. It's not going to happen overnight, people. But the more that I see him grow into this, the more I'm confident that in 4 years, he's going to be in a much better position than a lot of people gave him credit for. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Speaking of trade and whatnot, let me tell you something. Gold, silver, precious metals, amazing things. They've been around forever and a day. People have traded them everywhere. Gold is good, baby. You take gold and silver anywhere, guess what? It's good. It is. It's good. You know what else it's good at doing? Protecting you. And by that, I mean, you've worked hard. You've built up that IRA. You've built up a great nest egg there. But you are worried that maybe, just maybe, with the unsettling in the world and some of the news coming out across the board, that maybe we're overbought inside the stock market and it could sell off a little bit, which could have put a hurting on you. So what do you do? You take your money out and just put it in cash and wait to see how things go? No. Precious metals. Goldco Precious Metals. I trust this company. I've talked to them a lot. Let me tell you something about them that I find to be amazing. They get it. They're not here to scare you. They're not here to tell you, you got to buy this because there's zombies coming and the end of the world, North Korea, blah. They're not about that. What they're about is, hey, we're an investment firm. We're going to show you how you can invest in this, protect your portfolio, which you've worked so hard for, and oh, by the way, upside potential in silver and in gold. Oh, yes, indeed. Gold Coast will do that because they're honest, they're ethical, and they're knowledgeable. And that's key right there. They're going to give you fantastic advice on how to invest in precious metals because you've worked hard for a long time, got yourself a nice little nest egg. Diversifying is key. They're going to show you how to protect what you've worked so hard for. Visit BensonGold.com to get started with your free IRA guide from Gold Co. That's BensonGold.com, BensonGold.com. And I tell you what, you will be happy you did. That's BensonGold.com. Little what's next? Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Or Phil likes pushing all the weird buttons. What's next? We're already there, Phil. Are you ahead of me, Phil? Oh, my God. I thought Phil was living 30 minutes ahead of us here. Word. You know, the lottery numbers. it's all good, brother. Net neutrality. What is it? Well, first of all, essentially what it is, it's a principle that the internet service providers and governments regulating the internet should treat all data on the internet the same, not discriminating, meaning everything gets treated the same. Everybody gets the it's socialism. In a lot of ways, right? Instead of throttling up or down, giving people to pay more attention, which is really what capitalism, right? If you can afford more, you pay more, you get better service. There's a reason somebody drives a Ferrari and somebody drives a Corolla. Some of it, maybe it's just, the guy that drives a Corolla is cheap, and some of it, that's all they can afford. All right? Ajit Pai is the FCC chairman now, and we've signed off and gave up control of the internet. Now we want to get rid of net neutrality after only a few months that never really went into effect. This is what he had to say about net neutrality.
Well, this is going to be a political debate that will engage millions of people, but we are going to stay focused on the facts and the law. And the facts are that Americans, by and large, believe in a free and open internet, but they also want to have an infrastructure investment. They want those next generation networks to be built out. And so I think what the FCC doesn't need is heavy-handed regulations that saddle businesses with a lot of rules that simply disincentivize them from building those networks. And that's going to be the course we are charting henceforth.
Now, do we want it regulated like a public utility? When all of a sudden we're going to get more wacky fees? And what ends up happening here with net neutrality? And I tell you guys this, after living in Europe and stuff, is investments go away. Because if you're going to do everything the same, then there's no reason for us to invest any more money if we're not going to be able to make any more money. Life is about that. Take away money from anything, watch how that thing dies. That's it right there. Watch how that dies. Don't you want faster internet? Absolutely you want faster internet. Everybody does. Even if you can't afford the super fast internet, the more that we break through stuff, right? The more that that starts to happen, you're still going to be, by and large, getting faster and faster stuff. That's going to happen. But when you take away the money and you start to do what they're doing here, guess what happened? Money's dry up and oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
With respect to investment, they are down 5.6% for the top 12 broadband providers in this country. We have heard from a number of providers who have told us that these Title II regulations, as they are called, are impeding them from executing on their business plans. They're not spending as much. They can't get as much financing. And as 22 ISPs, small ones, told us just yesterday, Title II hangs over our businesses like a black cloud. And that's the kind of regulatory uncertainty and overreach that we want to remove, because every American deserves better, faster, and cheaper internet.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we want. Better, faster, cheaper internet. What's next for this? It's going to be a fight, that's for sure. But I'm hoping we roll this thing back and get out of this. It's a nightmare. Let capitalism serve it. Eventually, somebody's going to come up with a way to make everything even faster, and these people are going to find out that that stuff that we're using right now is even going to be even more obsolete. But when you start regulating the hell out of stuff, and when government gets involved, as we all know, it's never a good thing. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Millennials, we're going to teach you guys what to do and not to do when it comes to job interviews. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
What is up, party people? Hope you're doing well on this gorgeous day. It is a gorgeous day, at least where I am. But you know what? Everywhere it's gorgeous. You live in the greatest country in the world, right? It's the gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I'm looking at the NFL draft. I know I should be watching CNN like all the other people. It's not who I'm looking. Filler, if you should watch ESPN, I have never seen, I don't know how many people. It's in Philadelphia this year. There's got to be 25,000-30,000 people out there. It looks like it's Coachella.
The whole thing's outdoors, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. It looks, and now they're announcing the guys, and they're all coming out. And I would say this, there is always that fear factor, right? You know, you're a young 20-something-year-old kid. Even though these guys have grown men bodies, they're still young men. And the fear factor of you going to this and then all of a sudden the team you thought was going to pick you doesn't pick you, and you're that last dude inside the green room and the camera's on you every 25 seconds because they're waiting to see who's the next pick and it's not you. Oh, God, that's got to eat your soul up. It does. You got your girlfriend and your mom and everybody around you, and you're just continuing to slide down further and further and further and further. Oh, my Lord. But it is amazing. I didn't know the whole thing was going to be outside. And, wow, who's wearing the pink suit? That is a suit right there. And it looks like it's a concert. It's incredible. Philly's doing it, and they got it 2 years. And then the 3 years from now, it's going to be at the new practice facility in Dallas, which I think will be awesome. When's it coming to L.A., man? We could put on a party in L.A. I'm just throwing that out there. Millennials. And this really goes for everybody, not just millennials, because I think a lot of CEOs and hiring agents and people like that are looking at things nowadays at how they can shake things up when it comes to interviewing people. It's no longer just a simple interview, especially when you're going for an upper echelon job. If you're working at a fast food restaurant, it's like, you know, can you, your mom and dad drop you off, or do you have transportation, stuff like that. But when you're going for an interview where you look at something and you're going to get a 401k and you're going to get a real career opportunity, they're going to invest money in you, training you and doing all these kind of things. They want to know that they're getting the right person. And there's tips along the way. I read an article the other day about the guy that hires for Charles Schwab, the Schwab guy himself, the dude, the man. He says what he does for prospective hires is he takes them out to breakfast. And he slowly, when the person's not looking, he has a quick word with the person that is going to be the waiter or waitress. And he says to them, hey, make this person's order wrong. And, you know, gives them a nice little tip and stuff. Make sure their order's wrong. Because he wants to see how they're going to react in a situation when not everything goes their way. We've heard about the stuff that they do. They ask people weird and awkward questions to take them out of a comfort zone and then to almost shock them in a way. Yeah, when's the last time you cried? When's the, you know, it's like, how tall is your mom? I don't know, whatever it is that you ask somebody that will take them out of the comfort zone of I'm here for an interview, that is going to start to show them who they really are. So these are some tips. This is great. This is Christine Romans talking about job interview, talking about a few things. And again, this is for anybody, but talking about one of the stereotypes that happens with millennials, which is they're entitled and they're lazy.
Rule number one, anyone walking into a job interview should take special care not to reinforce that stereotype of being lazy, spoiled, and conceited.
No, I'm actually pretty good at a job interview.
Every time I think I'm an interview, I don't really worry about it because I assume that I'll get the job.
Wow, that guy's obnoxious. Just for that alone, I'm probably not going to hire you. And you know what's funny? There are people out there that are confident, and then there are people out there that he felt entitled, right? He didn't feel like I'm a dude that, like, I go to a job interview, I'm going to knock it out the park. I'm going to get this thing. There was just a cockiness about him. But you can't. And I've seen it with not just the younger generation. A lot of people that roll into interviews are completely ill-prepared for an interview, and they don't look like they're there for something. It's really kind of sad. This is vitally important for everybody, but millennials, because they're a little bit more open about their lives. And I know a lot of millennials now have two separate versions of their life on the internet, the real one and the fake one.
Number two. Clean up your social profile.
I recently discovered that my Twitter account from like 2011 that I haven't accessed in years was somehow public.
Sometimes I'm posting my modeling pictures and I'll have coworkers pass me and be like, you were just naked on Instagram.
Get on LinkedIn. Google yourself. Your prospective new boss will.
I worked for a station up in Sacramento, a group of and we hired this guy. And this is really when Facebook had just, it was only a few years old. And I don't even think Twitter was out there, Instagram or anything. And they went online and they found these embarrassing pictures. And for fun, and this was a sales guy, they put his picture up at one of the sales meeting where he was drunk and he had a sombrero covering his willy. And everybody laughed at him. Nowadays, it's a much different story. Again, that's radio. Radio takes a different viewpoint towards things. But you have to be careful. I don't know how many times I tell people that you got to be careful because we live in this weird society now where, you know, she talked about her Twitter not being, she didn't even know her Twitter was working because she hasn't been there and she can't even access. It's been 3 years. We do this now, right? Like somebody tweets something and it's funny today. And then 6 months from now, somebody looks at it and goes, I don't find that to be funny because maybe you said something that offended them now and they've now researched something. You may have liked some. God, where was I? Oh, God. I was at a. This is great. I was at a station here working here. This is crazy. This is a perfect example of how crazy people can be, right? When it comes to some of this stuff. I was at a station here and a group of listeners felt that they were being treated right at one of the station events and they chimed in on the station's website and they said something about it. And one of the promotions people happened to like what they said. That promotions person was suspended. It's little things like that. It's so insane. It is so insane. I had another buddy who was on the tarmac, stuck somewhere, did not mention who the airplane company was flying with, who happened to be a sponsor of the show, but said, I'm stuck. This is ridiculous. Said something about it. He'd been on there for 2 or 3, 4 hours, and he got home the next day. He was fired because of that. Didn't even mention the company. But that's how people look at this. What are you going to be like? Because now they realize not only are you representing yourself, you're also representing the company. You work for somebody, and hey, you know what? Just like a prospective client is going to prospective employer is going to look at you, potentially prospective clients may look at your stuff and say, we don't want this person handling our money.
Number 3, be ready for the background check. Many employers look at credit history when they run pre-employment background checks on potential new employees. If you're not paying your student loans or you're carrying big credit card balances, the hiring manager can see it. Especially in positions that require some financial responsibility, this can be a big red flag.
Yeah. Huge, huge. I get the background check and the credit check. I mean, there a lot of companies do that now. They run credit checks because if you're A, going to be handling people's money, that could be worrisome if you're in a lot of trouble. Because what if you're in a ton of debt and they're thinking to themselves, we're going to give this person an opportunity to have money, and are they going to do anything with it? But they also realize something, too. You're hiring a 27-year-old kid out of college. He's probably going to be in a lot of debt. She's probably going to have $50,000 or $100,000 in debt. Why is that? Because she just got out of college. Yeah. And when you just get out of college, what do you have mostly? A lot of debt. A lot of debt. Plus, you've got to think about a few other things, too. Like for me, and here's a perfect example. If people run a credit check on me, my credit has been, it's been a fight for the last several years. I had my identity stolen, and not just once, 13 different separate times. This week alone, I came home to a letter that somebody tried to get credit in my name at Victoria's Secrets. And I was like, Phil, stop it. But it's annoying. But you can explain some of those things away. But I understand why they might do that. But to me, a background check's more important. Are you a felon? Are you a lunatic? And finally, this one's uber important.
Number 4, don't lie.
Once took a business trip to China that was a lot more leisurely than I sometimes pitch it as.
I have a strong belief in small white lies.
A career builder poll found an astonishing 58% of employers say they have caught lies on resumes.
Yeah. All right. Everybody lies on resumes. Everybody. Everybody in the world lies on a resume. You know, you were only at the company you were there for a year and a half. You were there for 11 months. You stretch it out. And here's a perfect one, salary, right? Like a salary thing. So you're obviously in the negotiation. You don't want to tell them, well, I'm looking to move, and because I'm not getting paid enough here, so I'm going to tell them I'm getting paid 50 grand when really I'm only getting paid 36, but that's because I want them to offer me more. If they see they're getting paid, 36, they may only offer me 36. Everybody has, but there's a difference between that and I graduated from Yale. That may not be true, and they could check that. I graduated from Stanford. Well, I did, but it was junior high, but you didn't know that. Little things like that, though. That is the world that these kids face, because we didn't have that. We didn't have to worry about that. But you know what? Nowadays, it's the same thing. You go for an interview, man, they're going to look you up and down. They want to know everything about you. And just like with dating and everything else, the first thing they do when they find somebody they're interested in, the resume, and they've got your name, they're going to Google you and find out what they can find. Got to be prepared for that. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com. I bet every one of you guys listening and gals, by and large, most of you out there have maybe stretched the truth on your resume. Maybe, or as we call it, CV in England. Maybe a little bit. You've stretched the truth. Not a lot, but enough that you would, because again, you're presenting your best. And if you got to stretch it a little bit, we've all done that. And anybody who says they haven't is probably not telling you the truth. Speaking of the truth, here's the truth. I love my car. People make fun of me, but I love my car. Betsy, the Blue Bomber, the Blue Ranger, depending if Jack's in the car. She She goes everywhere with me and I go everywhere with her. She takes care of me and I took care of her because I don't want a car payment. I want a car that gets me to and fro that I like, that is dependable. And Betsy gives me that. And the peace of mind that comes for Betsy and I, well, it comes because I've got extended coverage from carshield.com. This is what's great. I know how expensive transmission can be. I had a transmission go out of my car several years ago, and that cost me $2,500. I can only imagine what it is now with the new fandangled cars. And a lot of people have these cars, and now they're part computer, part car. Just changing a sensor is a grand, and a new engine, ooh, $4,000 or $5,000. Peace of mind comes with extended coverage like Car Shield because they will take care of you like nobody takes care of you, right? Extended coverage. And you're like, okay, Chad, well, what do I get? Your car breaks down, you have 24/7 service. Boom. By that, they'll come, they'll pick you up. They'll tow that car to the place that you want it towed to. Could be the dealership, could be the mechanic that you love because you know they're going to give you an honest and fair deal. And here's the great thing. You don't have to worry about paying for it. They're going to pay direct. So there's no waiting by the mailbox for that check. And in between the time your car goes in and your car comes out, you're going to have a rental car. Yeah, that is amazing. If your car is 3 to 12 years old, doesn't mean you have to pay high repair bills. CarShield's administrators paid out about $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you. Save yourself thousands of potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Call 800-856-1441 and mention code Benson or visit carshield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's carshield.com. Code Benson. A deductible may apply to some plans. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Straight ahead, we'll see what button Phil's going to push. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
I love it. I love it. You said you were going to do it. You did it.
I pulled the trigger.
You pulled the trigger, huh? Oh, man. I'm going to tell you guys this right now. If this doesn't show you what politics and how cities and people think about how amazing they are, then nothing will. Dateline, April 25th, USA, America. Man by the name of Mats Hjelström, right? 2013, he got hit with one of those red light cameras, or his wife did. Right, his wife did. So his wife gets pops, right? So he's pissed, right? Now, he lives in Oregon. Very smart guy. Bright guy, by the way. Goes into the courtroom and starts to break it down how these things are antiquated, right? They're not good. They don't work right. He presents facts, reviews, comments. He's got the whole night. I mean, this guy's got everything. Talking about the fact that these lights haven't changed as far as from you know, it goes from green to yellow to red, and the time in between, and there's, if you go too fast, there's all kinds of stuff like this. So you got these, you know what it is, camera lights. Everybody's got one of these things, right, in your little neighborhood, right? You drive through the light, and that thing flashes off. So his wife gets popped, right? So he goes in there, right, and he shows it to the court. He's like, look at this crap. But he probably says it with a bit of an accent. Look at this. Look at this. It's not real. It's not good. It's lies. He gets fined. Oh, because they ignored the red light. No. He got fined because he's not an engineer, even though he's an engineer. Wait, what? That's essentially, he got fined for practicing engineering without actually being an engineer, for calling himself an electronics engineer. The use of the phrase, I am an engineer, in the letter that he sent created enough of a violation that they felt they could fine him because he also got a $500 fine from the state board examiners of engineering and land surveying in Oregon. How's that working out for you, kids? He is an engineer, by the way. He just hasn't taken any of the tests and whatnot. He goes, criticizing the government engineering isn't a crime. It's a constitutional right. That's what the attorney said. And the thing is if you think about it, he is an engineer, right? If you go to school and you become a doctor and then you're no longer a practicing doctor, you say, I'm a doctor, does that mean that you're not a doctor anymore? You're still a doctor. I'm a radio guy. If I talk about other radio people, I'm still a radio guy. Well, you're not practicing radio at that point in time. So if I go in there and talk about radio people because I'm not practicing radio at that moment in time, does that mean you can't criticize some of these people? They don't like it. What he did was really he blew the lid off of stuff, which they know it's baloney. Those are cash cows for the company that has them, and they're cash cows and pass their income for the cities that throw them up. That's why you fight them, you get it on the ballot, you have those things taken away, kids. Smartest thing you can do, $500 for not being an engineer practicing. Good God. Weeping for the country. Situations like that. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. That's the email address, 323-538-2423. Text line, Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.